Good morning. Welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Mizmor Chav Zayin, the 27th Psalm of the Book of Tehillim. And this is a very famous Mizmor. It is the Mizmor of the David Hashem Arivi Yishi, which we know so much from our tefillos, especially around the Yomim Noraim. Let's try to appreciate this Mizmor in context. So first let's start with the overview and structure. It is made up of 14 psukim, and there's basically three or maybe two sections. The first little section, from Aleph to Gimel, is talking about the trust that the narrator, that David HaMelech, has in Hashem. The next section, from Dalet to Vav, is his request to stay and dwell in the house of Hashem and find protection there. And finally, from Zion to Yudalet, seems to be a desperate call to for Hashem's help and Hashem's protection, which may be an expansion of the first section. In terms of central themes, there's a few different perspectives that should be appreciated when looking at this Mizmor. Number one is the closeness to Hashem. There seems to be an internal contradiction. On the one hand, in Pasuk Dalet, he asks, Achas sha'alti me'es Hashem osa avakesh. He asks for one very specific request, and that is, Shifti be'es Hashem kol yamei chayai, to dwell in the house of Hashem his entire life. However, if you go on further in the Mizmor, he asks many other things. He asks for protection, he asks for salvation, he asks for many other things. So is that really fair to say that it's achas sha'alti, that he's only asking for one thing? So Rav Amos Chacham in the Da'at Mikra explains that yes, in fact this is a true version, this is a true request. At the core of what David HaMelech is really asking for is closeness to Hashem. Once he has that, every other minor request is in a certain sense answered. When he feels that he has Hashem around him, he feels safe. He feels protected. He feels that he is ensconced with Hashem and protected from his enemies. So therefore, in a certain sense, that achas sha'alti essentially is the theme of the whole Mizmor, which is knowing that Hashem is around him. There's another perspective to think about, and that is that there seems to be very different voices in this Mizmor. If we consider, let's say, Psukim Aleph to Vav, the first half of this Mizmor, there seems to be a very different tone and voice when you contrast it to the last section of the Mizmor from Zion to Yudalet. So as an example, in the first half of the Mizmor, the Mishorer, David HaMelech, is speaking about Hashem in the third person. So for instance, the David Hashem Orivi Yishi, to Hashem is my light and my salvation. He's referring to Hashem as a third being, not the direct object of this conversation. Whereas in this last half of the Mizmor, he talks to Hashem directly. Shema Hashem Koli Ekra. Listen, O Lord, as I call out to you. Another difference between the two halves is the tone. The first half seems to be a tone of calmness, of serenity. He says, as an example, Bekrov alai mareim lecholos besori, tzarai v'ayvayli, hema koshlu v'nafalu. When my enemies come to consume me, they will fall apart. I know that I am safe, there's no problem. In the second half, it seems very different. In the second half, he calls out in fear, in desperation. He calls out directly to Hashem, Al titneini b'nefesh tzorai, ki komi v'yeri shekev v'yefer chomos. Hashem, don't abandon me to my enemies, all these false witnesses. Don't let that happen. Very different tone. How do we account for this disparity? So some academics say that there are two authors. You see, there must be two authors, two a very different tone. However, you know, any intellectually honest individual would agree that even a human author is able to shift the voice. As an example, Lahavdil James Joyce, The Portrait of a Poet as a Young Man, and for William Faulkner, depending on which chapter he's talking about in his narrated novels or his various narrators, every narrator, even though it's the same author, has a different voice, depending on the circumstance or depending on who they are. We could at least credit David HaMelech with basic literary excellence. So yes, it could actually be one author. What accounts, therefore, in the difference in the shift in tone and language? So one way of doing this is, man, this might actually be a reflection of the vicissitudes of life. I had this discussion with a number of friends of mine, Alex Ozer and Menachem Rosenbaum, about this particular Tehillim. And in a certain sense, that reflects the human condition. There are times that a person feels calm. There's times that a person feels serene. A person feels protected. And sometimes in the same day, a person can have a situation, an episode in their life where they feel so thrown by the waves in that same day where at the beginning or at the end of that same day they felt calm. That is the human condition. David HaMelech, at a certain sense, at the rock bottom of it all, is knowing that Hashem is there, even though sometimes it feels that it's very distant and a person needs to call out. And that's perhaps reflected in this Mizmor, in its completion, in its wholeness. In terms of the events that are behind this Mizmor, it's interesting to try to identify some. So for instance, there are a few indicators which may be helpful. One example is, Ki avi v'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveni. My father and my mother abandoned me and Hashem took me in. So this could be referred to a number of things. There is a very fascinating, very obscure midrash called the Yalkut Machiri, which is to be found in Tehillim Kuf Yud Ches. The Mizmor we say in Halel, when we say Evan Moasa Abonim Hoysal Rosh Pinah, the stone which was rejected by the builders is now used as the cornerstone, as the keystone. So what's that referring to? So the Yalkut Machiri says that David Melech's father, Yishai, was married to Mrs. Yishai, we don't know her name, and they separated for 3 years. And after 3 years of separation, Yishai actually fancied one of the maidservants in his house and wanted to free her, which would ultimately make her Jewish, convert to Judaism so he could marry her. This young lady, in fact, informed her mistress, who had now been separated from her master for these years, and they made a switch in which that the time that they were together, in fact, it was Yishai's wife, not the maidservant, when she got married. And the product of that was the pregnancy with David HaMelech, which therefore led some of the people to believe, certainly the rest of the brothers to believe, that this was an illegitimate child. After all, their mother had been separate from her father from 4 years, so how could it be that she was pregnant? And ultimately, she gave birth. This was a very red child, and he looked different from the rest of the brothers, and he was rejected, which is why he was left out in the field when Shmuel HaNavi came to anoint the new king. They didn't even think that David HaMelech would be part of this until Shmuel anointed him, and they realized that, in fact, 28 years later, this was legitimate. This was really at the core of it. It reminds us, of course, of the Tamar and Yehuda story. It reminds us of other complicated stories in the Torah where Mashiach is born through complexity. But it could be also, in a certain sense, Ki Avi Vayimi Azavuni, there's a certain element of abandonment until they become Rosh Pinah, until they become the keystone. Another opportunity of looking at an event which might be reflected over here is also the Pasuk Yud Beis, where Al Titeni B'Nefesh Tzarai Ki Komu V'Yedei Shecha V'Sheker V'Fei Hamas. Don't let me fall prey to the hands of false witnesses. False witnesses, who could this be referring to? So it could be generalized, like the Mitzuras points out, that Nefesh means my innermost desire. Hashem, don't let me fall prey to myself. It could be referring to, as Rav Ibn Yichya suggests in his Pirush on Tanakh, this refers to those who bore testimony against David HaMelech himself, like the Ziphim, who went and told Shaul HaMelech where he was hiding, or Doeg HaAdam, the people who told patently false things to Shaul in order to continue persecuting him. Where does this Mizmor appear in the Tefillah? So it's fascinating that we know that this Mizmor is said every single day during the month of Elul and Tishrei, according to many Nuschos. In Nusach Ashkenaz, it's said in the morning and at Maariv, and in Nusach Sfarad and Ari, it is said in Shachris and at the end of Mincha. Why is it specifically relevant to the times of Elul and Tishrei till after Shmini Atzeres, according to many Nuschos? Why is that until Shmini Atzeres? Why is that true? So famously, the Midrash in Vayikra Rabbah, Perek Chav Gimel Aleph, says that Ori refers to Rosh Hashanah, and Yishi refers to Yom Kippur, meaning when Hadar HaMelech says, the David Hashem Ori v'Yishi, he's referring to specific moments in time where he feels protected and close to Hashem. The Sefer Shemen Tov in the 1700s brings a very fascinating insight, and that is he points out that it is said during this time to between Rosh Chodesh Elul and Simchas Torah, and it's a segula against bad gezeros. Why? He says that if you look out the number of times the name Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem, appears in this Mizmor, it's 13 times, which represents the 13 Yudgimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of Hashem's mercy, which we are trying to evoke at this time, even though we may feel like sometimes we're surrounded by enemies, whether they are internal or external enemies. In terms of Psukim in the spotlight, one passage just to focus on, and that is, let's focus on two Psukim. The first one is the Pasuk of Bezois. This is a very enigmatic Pasuk, which is Pasuk Gimel. Im tachanei alai machanei lo yirei alibi, im tokum alai machamai, Bezois ani botach. If I'll be surrounded by my enemies, if there's war which will besiege me, I will trust in this. So apparently the Bezois is so important and so integral to David HaMelech that he feels completely happy and complete knowing that he's protected by this. What is the this? He doesn't explain what the this is. So the Mefarshim debate this. So for instance, the Ibn Ezra and the Radak say it's looking backwards in the Mizmor. Meaning, knowing that David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, knowing that Hashem is my salvation, is going to allow me even on rainy days to remember that Hashem is with me even when it looks cloudy. That's one way of looking at it. In a certain sense, it's like the idea that you have to always set your compass on dry land. You can't go to sea and start setting your compass. You need to make sure that your instruments are calibrated at a time when it's clear skies. Same thing over here. I know L'David Hashem O'rivi Yishi. I know Hashem's my salvation. Now when difficult times come, B'zos Ani Boteach, I'm going to continue remembering that. Another way of looking at this is the Malbim is focusing on it. The idea is that the trust is the following line, that Shivti B'Beis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, knowing that my ultimate goal, my target in life, is to be close to Hashem, that is what allows me to get through the difficult times. It's not about beforehand, it's about the fact that I know my life has meaning. I have a why, and that can help me deal with any how, in the words of Nietzsche. And finally, the Midrash says no. You know what it refers to? It's the hope referring to the hope of eventual tshuva. The fact that David HaMelech knows that he can ultimately will be able to come back to Hashem, and therefore, even in the moments of what he feels like are punishment, he will be able to return to Hashem. Rav Charlap, Zvulun Charlap, and the Dean Emeritus of Reitz, pointed out that the Medrash which connects this to Bezois Yavoi Aaron El HaKodesh, that it talks about how Aaron will enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, the moment that the apex of atonement for the nation of Israel and personal atonement for Aaron, that is uses the word Bezois. What is he coming in? With this, meaning to say, David HaMelech is going to the innermost point, the innermost core of connection with him, and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and with the Almighty. And that is what allows him into this moment, into being able to know that ultimately he will be protected no matter where he goes. Because wherever he goes, he is ultimately in the safety and protection of Hashem. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.